This current talk by Father John Hardin on the training of the conscience of religious really took the form of a seminar or a question and answer period. It began with one of the brothers posing the question, conscience demands a certain basic knowledge of the moral principles. How important is it that you review basic moral principles in the early stages of formation, like the postulancy? And Father Hardin's reply, all, from the beginning of religious life, should, on a regular basis, get a training in sound Catholic moral teaching, which is the training of the mind, because that is what morality first is. I have taught, this is the second year now, a course in moral theology to the Daughters of St. Paul in Boston. I ended up last year with some 400 of the most basic questions in moral theology with their answers. This year we made a typescript of the tapes, and that is the teacher's or the sister's textbook for this year. And now I can build this year on last year because they can read on their own. This establishes their textbook, and I am further able to comment and explain. This is 6 hours every 2 weeks for 28 weeks. That's a lot of moral theology. And all I can tell you is they need it. You cannot, obviously, cover everything. Some of this may stretch over several years. There is just the plain, basic moral theology. What is basic human conduct? What is law? What is conscience? How to form one's conscience? And after that, after these preliminaries, you have enough for several years. The Ten Commandments of God. Certain basic things must be and should be known about the First Commandment, and then the Second, and so on down the line. The Commandments of the Church. The Three Theological Virtues. The Four Moral Virtues. Then the Seven Sacraments on their moral side. All of this, very interesting, extremely useful, not just speculative knowledge, but knowledge they will need for the rest of their lives. I have met religious 30 years in the community who did not, for example, properly understand, well, say, the meaning of the truth. What is a lie? The virtue of justice. They have heard so much about charity that they may have missed certain basic principles of justice. And look at the injustice going on in some communities. The sort of thing that is rocking religious life to its very foundations. It may be partly due to bad will. Human nature is human nature. But for too long, we have assumed that we have either young Bernadette Soubirous or John Birchman when they enter the postulancy. Well, we don't, and we didn't. These people have to deeply and clearly understand their moral responsibilities. Otherwise, you can be and will be building an edifice of spirituality on very weak moral foundations. One of the sisters then commented on the necessity of spiritual reading, even of something as basic as the catechism, that you had to review in your mind the basic truths of the faith, or that suddenly you would find that you had forgotten a great deal and that you can't answer certain simple basic questions. You have to feed the mind. And Father Hardin's comment, yes, the mind is like the stomach in some ways. There is hunger in both, the desire for food. There are some stomachs that are basically fundamentalists, meat and potato. They eat what they need and are not so concerned about the frills. But there are some stomachs that just take what they like uncontrolled children, a sort of a suicidal diet. Religious life can be made so delectable. You can be served so many salads, so many tidbits, so many dainty little things in the spiritual life without having cultivated a strong foundation in what the mind needs in possessing the truth, and especially in the moral order. We need a certain amount of protein and carbohydrates and fats every day. We develop a certain taste for those fundamentals. Another sister then raised the point that conscience should be formed from early childhood. That very often this isn't done, and if missed, how do you make up for the deficiency when you encounter it? And Father Hardin's reply, many consciences have been malformed before they come to us. We should not, however, assume a massive malformation. In fact, that should be one of the conditions for the pre-postulancy. I would think one or two carefully devised tests, moral quotient tests, should be administered. Maybe certain cases could be worked out where the basic moral principles would be revealed as to whether the person has the insight. For example, in knowing right from wrong in the matter of, say, chastity or charity. And by the way, whether you would administer that kind of test, it could be done in a variety of forms. One way would be to have them write out something of their past life. You can't learn too much about the person being admitted, and even after they are in. There are also some palatable ways in which these people are willing to tell you about how they think along moral lines. It would seem to me that one thing you should look for is from the behavioral patterns. You know, a lot of people do things which for a person with a cultivated religious conscience are positively wrong. Don't you think? A lot of people do things they don't even think are wrong. One of the brothers then posed the question, haven't many people today confused the moral ethic, the Christian morality, with the prevalent secular morality? It seemed to him that it was like the missionary teaching in a very backward country. The people pick up some concepts or ideas concerning Christian morality from the priest or the teacher, and then they have added or they have diluted the teaching with some local beliefs or the local culture. And Father Hardin's reply, yes, this has reached higher circles than you might imagine. We have a book recently published by a man who left the priesthood, a man you should be aware of, one Daniel McGuire. who is formerly of a Catholic university and who is now, I am sorry to say, teaching at Marquette University. He has come out with a book on the Christian ethic. I say he's a man who gave up the priesthood. He was a moral theologian. And what he has done is take every single moral principle of Christianity and he has secularized it. The kind of lack a well-formed conscience that so many people nowadays have, it can be said to be a conscience in which the moral imperatives of Christianity are presented as mere ideals. Now, this is important. The moral imperatives of Christianity are presented as mere ideals. So they save face by calling themselves and wanting to be considered Christians. They will quote everything we subscribe to. The big difference is that where we believe that certain things are imperatives, certain things prescriptive, even as a condition for salvation, they tell the people this is an ideal which you can strive after. Well, whoever reaches an ideal? I'm convinced that men like Daniel McGuire are not only formers of this secular Christianity, but are in many ways reflected. We should assume that those entering religious life need not only to have more knowledge and an increase in their grasp of what we are supposed to do morally, so that we supply for their inadequacy, we should also assume that there are wrong ideas. The conscience may be very sincere, very certain, but it can be a false conscience. It can be a conscience that will betray. One of the hardest things to cope with is a convinced, erroneous conscience. And one of the sisters then posed the problem of the young fundamentalists, that some of them were so strict, so undeviating in their interpretation of the moral values. And how could that be faced? Father Hardin's reply: one can be very strict, but even fundamentalists can be strict about the wrong things. I would assume that people with a religious vocation, if it's a genuine vocation, would reveal a certain and extraordinary moral sensitivity. In other words, you would expect the person to have a genuine religious vocation to be more than ordinarily concerned to do the right thing. But there is a massive confusion, not just among the young, as to what is the right thing. In essence, remember, conscience is the mind. It's the intellect. The conscience is not the will or the affections. The conscience is the mind, so that as conscience, it needs to be instructed mainly in what is true. Now, the will at the same time should be encouraged and sensitized to the good. Now, I would say, don't discourage those under your care from their moral sensitivity. I would want, however, to make sure that their sensitivity is applied to the right things or the right objects. You might search a little further. They can be strict on some one or other thing, and then you will find that they are remarkably lax and indifferent about some basic precepts of the moral order. Now, in general, regarding training the conscience of religious, one thing that I would especially stress with you is to make sure that whatever you have learned about conscience being human reason passing judgment on moral matters, please, here and now, this should be revised. Conscience is not mere reason. Conscience is reason enlightened by faith, and consequently, part of the training of the conscience of religious is deepening their faith, their understanding, their convictions in the moral order, because there are so many things that you cannot, by reason alone, understand. In other words, training the conscience of religious is first making sure that their faith is enlightened, because unless their faith is enlightened, the very fact that they have a good mind or intellect, well, they will use their conscience all right, and they will come up with pretty clear decisions all right, but they may not be decisions that they should make. They shouldn't make them because they figured out the answers themselves. Whereas in religious life, the deepest answers you take on faith. Remember, enlighten the faith. Which faith, again, throws light on the mind and in turn enkindles the conscience. This concludes Father John Harden's lecture and seminar on training the conscience of religious.